heading for a sure fall. Can't seem to care at all for nothing.
You're listening to The Ocho Man, Behind the Eight Ball, only on Ignotainment.
I'm always on the old black list or something.
Without further ado, the one, the only, Ocho Man.
I'm trying to live my life and it just makes me so wild and mean.
Hola, hola muchachos, my friends. It's the Ocho Man with our big show, Ocho Man Behind the Eight Ball, April 23rd. We got, we don't have one. We don't have our fucking guy here, Armand. I hope he's not dead. He hasn't called. I've tried to reach out to him and everything. He's missing, guys.
He must be on an airplane headed to one of these exotic locations he's always
I mean, you think the guy would call.
He's probably hanging out with somebody from Plenty of Fish.
Yeah, Plenty of Fish. That's his gig right there. He finally got a morning date.
Could be a good thing.
If that's the deal, then he's got a hall pass with me. Our guy here, Nick.
Hey.
Nick, I tell you what, man. Nick's taking over. We've had a lot of emails, a lot of people asking about what a great show it was, and Nick made it happen.
Yeah, I'm getting funny phone calls in the middle of the night.
Really?
Telling me, keep your mouth shut, guy.
that could be some of the shit that you came up with.
Cars getting a little too close to me on the highway, you know.
All right. And there you go. Those are the cop cars. And by the way, I got
that's the FBI heading over here to get Nick right now. Department of Homeland Security.
Well, probably Armand's in the back seat with him already.
He probably ratted Nick out. Yeah. That's where he is right now. He's testifying behind a hidden congressional panel on the information that Nick has.
No kidding. And Chris, glad to have you on, man. You're my guy.
It's good to be here, Ocho Man.
I'll tell you what, fellas. So much shit's been happening. I mean, in my personal life as well. The whole reflection on the Armenian genocide popping up tomorrow, that's really big to me. That's big to a lot of Armenians out there, 1.5 million Armenians that were murdered by the Turks, and our beloved president again that had a whole thing about change. Well, he didn't change. He did. He said he's not going to recognize the Armenian genocide. And really,
why do you think
it's
he
shocking.
Did that?
Really, I'll be honest with you, it's Turkish blackmail. Country of Turkey keeps bringing up, hey, we got our base, you got your bases in our country. If you mention the word genocide, we'll shut the damn thing down. We want you out of this country. It's a blackmail. It's a universal blackmail they hold on America. And you know what? It's all about justice. It's about justice. It's not about... Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I'm going to roll with it. And let me ask you guys something right now.
Yeah.
If you aid and, you know, comfort a criminal that's on the lam, he's running, okay? Aren't you now a criminal?
Yes. Yeah. It's a criminal act to do that, aiding and abetting, something like that.
Okay. Isn't this, in a way, when you're saying something happened back then, but it's not genocide? The word genocide stems from Armenia, the Armenian people. So I just don't understand how this is not a criminal act of its own.
I don't either. I mean,
it is a criminal act.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's been going on. And we got System of Down in Armenia right now playing. And it's a great atmosphere in Armenia. And God bless everyone out there. And sorry I went into my thing about the genocide, but I had to get that out. And I don't know. I don't know, guys. Not much happening otherwise. I've been really into that. And. And this whole Greg Hardy thing with the Dallas Cowboy player. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
Vaguely, no. I mentioned it to you. But here's a guy that was found not guilty. He wasn't even convicted by the law or anything like that, even in the courts. So, and now Roger Goodell, the mobster, the godfather of the NFL that loves to take a shot at the Cowboys any chance he gets. Well, you know what? He's given the guy 10-game suspension.
Oh,
ten games.
That's intense.
10 fucking games. What for? I mean, isn't this, last I seen, we're not living in Saudi Arabia or some other Middle East country that, it's not, we're not in the Salem witch trial anymore, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the, you know, the hard thing when you have an entity like the NFL that is not the government. It's a, you know, privately owned entity, and it makes its own rules. It can.
Why can't he sue him? I would sue him.
Well,
if someone accused Chris or Nick here of something, who am I to say? By the way, those two, they would be found not guilty. And next thing you know, I'm the boss and go, hey, you know what? Just because they talked about you two, I'm going to have to suspend you guys from work for about 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that's rough.
It sounds like someone giving into some pressure.
Well, he doesn't give in to any pressure. This guy runs the whole show. The whole gamut is under his control there. Roger Goodell. So anything he wants, he gets done. Yeah. And he's not a fan favorite. I mean, last time he was at the draft, they were booing the guy. So in any case, that's what we got on that. And, hey, how about our Blues last night, man?
Man, was that a game or what?
I mean, they took it.
It was the opposite of the game before that.
It's amazing. It's amazing the mind frame of sports. And, I mean, not only sports, but you think about how does one come out so flat one day and another day say, I'm not going to tolerate this because I got my back against the wall. What makes them do that? Because the game before, you would say, God damn it, they can't get anything going. Last night, forget about it.
No,
they did not ease up at all till the last minute of the third period, and they still looked like a team that was hungry for a goal.
Yep, it was the largest margin of victory so far in the Stanley Cup.
There's no question about it.
6-1.
I just,
I think the Wild were shocked.
Well, yeah, they had about 20,000 of these towels.
Yep,
I didn't see one fucking towel being waved.
No, and even when I think it was like right at the beginning of the second, they started to get some momentum. They scored a goal, and I mean, literally 60 seconds after they scored, the Blues they come back down to the other end, score another goal, and you know, after that, all the energy was gone out of the.
Yeah.
The XL Energy Center, whatever it's called, in Minneapolis.
Yeah, yeah. They brought those towels. Now they're wiping tears with them.
Exactly.
That's it. What do you think about that, Nick, on the sense that it's not just about sports, but it's about how can one be up for one thing and then the next day be down and vice versa? I mean, how does our brain work like that? It's amazing.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it has. Maybe it's all astrological.
Astrological.
Oh, that's another take at it.
I mean, why the hell not?
We
need something like that. So, yeah, folks, our Blues really looked good last night, and that's what we got going. What do you got going there, Nick? Or what have you been up to for the last week?
Working and following some trains of thought and following some theories, trying to connect some
theories.
Dots.
Give us one of your theories here. Give us something that'll make
I've
us.
I've been waiting for one. I'm excited now.
Okay. I'm telling you, the guy, he's got an audience here.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's see. John Belushi.
John Belushi was my guy. I even got him on my Facebook.
I know.
That's the guy I love, man.
That's what made me think about this. And well, I heard about it because I was looking into something. Okay, check it out. Belushi, the day after he died, he was supposed to meet with an author named Mark Lane, who wrote the first kind of overview of the JFK assassination, and it was the first book that was critical of the Warren Commission, the first book that kind of cried conspiracy. And Belushi was supposed to meet with him the day, like the next day, but he died. And, of course, you know, when Belushi, and I remember this, when Belushi died, that it was first reported as natural causes.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? And that's a red flag to me. Because they say, well how are we going to say he died, you know? So, actually.
The fucker was in the cocaine, though, man. I think he overdosed. Yeah, well, his heart was working like a train on the.
But did you know that before he died or after he died? I'm sure, look, a lot of people do cocaine, but I mean, Freddie Prinze was also looking into JFK. Freddie Prinze Sr.,
Yeah. He was a comedian. He was looking into the JFK assassination. He had the Zapruder film, you know, the footage.
Yep.
He had that in his living room with a projector going through it frame by frame. He was getting back together with his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend.
Okay, so basically you're saying anyone that opens their mouth about the JFK were now dropping dead at the time.
Well, let's see. I think there's a fact in that case that everybody that was in 50 feet of the limousine ended up dead in like 12 years or something like that.
Some bizarre coincidence,
yeah.
If you want to call it that.
Is he for real on that one, Chris? Because that's fucking creepy.
Look it up.
That seems creepy.
Man, the actual Zapruder film itself is altered. And like Hollywood experts are going through it right now, frame by frame, with some good technology, shit they didn't think we were going to have back in the 60s when they cut this thing all up. There was no way they're really going to show you what happened.
Yeah.
And there is a them, by the way, so fuck you if you're going to get on my case. Well, who are you talking about, they? There is a fucking them. Anyway.
And I want them to know that yeah. I am yeah. not a part of yeah. him on that one. So... So me and Chris, it's all Nick.
I don't know who them are, so
yeah.
It's going to go on. And,
I mean, they already took one of our cast
I don't
guys
know this
out.
Them. Yeah, I mean, Armand yeah, right. obviously Ooh. Is.
They took Armand away.
That's not funny.
They.
I actually know. I know who killed JFK, you know. I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, fuck. Can I get a drum roll here,
yeah,
Chris? Hang on. Don't let this out of the hat.
On Ocho the, Man. The Ocho Man show here.
Fire away. Fire away.
Fire away. Oh, boy. Ocho
Breaking
Man.
News.
Breaking news here.
The man.
Nick has uncovered who has shot JFK.
But first, a word from our sponsors. No. Yeah. No, you know
Brought
what?
To you by the U.S. government and the CIA.
I'll tell you what. I've thought that it was other people this week. I think it's this person. It was the man sitting right in front of him. It was Governor John Connally shot.
Really?
Fired the fatal shot.
It was Connally.
There were other people shooting at him, and police have captured audio where you hear the gunshots. You know, the Warren Commission says one shot, one bullet, please, you know. But or no, they said it was three shots, one magic bullet that caused all the wounds.
Sure.
Anyway.
Wait a minute. It was the governor that was sitting in front
of him that was also shot.
God damn it, Nick. We've seen the footage of that. Not one time have I seen a guy turn around and cap his ass.
Well, you're not looking at John Connally, are you? You're looking at JFK because the morbidity in all of us is just wanting
no,
to see
no.
some
they,
brain
they,
splatter.
They show it from above, man, the whole fucking car, and I don't see one time the guy go, here, I'm going to cap you, see?
Hey, Sherry.
I'll tell you what. If you look at...
he brought pictures.
Yeah. If you look at that picture right there...
Chris, you want to look at it first?
You will see a black line underneath the action. You will see a black line right here.
Okay.
And it's not the bottom of the shot because there is some action underneath it, as you can
mm-hmm.
see. Here is the black line in another edited version.
Okay,
there's action underneath it. That black line is so you don't see what's going on in the limousine. And let me show you another picture I got. Just before...
Chris, what do you make of it, man?
Here, you have to look.
Just before you see something in John Connally's hand right there.
What in the fuck is this, Nick? I can't make out of it. What the hell? It could be a goddamn flower, what I'm looking at here.
Okay, all right. You see something in John Connally's hand. He's turning to JFK as JFK's hit.
Yeah, he's saying, fuck, our president just got hit.
Here's what you will see. Okay, this is what I believe I see in that. You, even though it has been altered, there has been certain things that have survived in the final cut. And in frame 314, you can actually see a gun flash, smoke, something in Connally's hand, and you can even see flesh tones as if they were edited out. Look, you know, no one's watching the Zapruder film right now, so it's hard to, you know, it's hard to explain this. But if you were, you would see that right before they pass the freeway sign, there's a sign that covers everything up. And right after they get past that sign, you see that JFK is hit. A few seconds go by, and he's hit again. During that time, you see Connolly look both ways. Then he finally looks back at JFK.
Now, where the hell are you seeing him looking at both ways?
Well, you're looking at a still photograph, you know.
He's saying you have to. It's on the video. It's on the Zapruder film.
But you can see he's hiding something in his hand. Connolly was a gun collector. He was an ambidextrous shooter. Hated JFK. Was assigned to some kind. Oh, was it Director of Naval Intelligence, something like that? And he refused it. Because JFK assigned it to him. He was real far up LBJ's ass. You know, he was really like I think it was his campaign manager for a while, something like that. So
let me ask you this. If it's mm-hmm. edited, if the film's edited, isn't it possible that someone edited it to make you think that it was the
certainly.
Governor who shot him?
Certainly. Yeah. Hey, I said that's who I think did it this week.
Yeah.
Certainly it is. But you know, it also makes sense that he did it. You should see it. You should see.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have to watch that portion of the Zapruder film now. Yeah.
Okay. So let me tell you. Let me go somewhere else then. Something else I've uncovered since I talked to you, gentlemen, last. John Lennon. John Lennon. We're all Beatles fans, aren't we?
Sure.
He didn't like John F. either.
Well, so I'm off that. Right
now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But Paul McCartney, who some people say died in 1966. Was actually talking with Mark Lane also and was looking into the JFK assassination.
I knew he was going to trend right back to
JFK or something, but no.
You knew he wasn't just going to let the JFK go.
When did the Beatles come out? When did the Beatles come to America? Was it February? It was three months after the JFK assassination. Oh, I love the man. Anyway, that poor guy. You know, I lived in New York City, okay? And I walked past the Dakota apartment building several times.
And do they still lay flowers? Or?
Yeah, people do that. You see people taking pictures there all the time and stuff. And I walked by it, and I saw that kind of thing. And I asked my friend Chris what it was, and he told me that's what it was. And he's like, yeah, that's where John Lennon was shot.
It's amazing that broad broke up the whole band.
Oh, come on. Cool. It wasn't.
It was Lennon's wife, man. Right. She could not keep her hands off the damn band. And that's what's happened in this world. You got the broads always involved in the guy, whatever they want to do, and they ruin it. It all goes to hell.
Oh, my God. You sound like an Oliver Stone movie.
I like Oliver Stone,
you know what I mean?
Man.
Yeah, well, there's always like that
a little
heroic
long in a
man.
Movie. Yeah.
There's always that heroic man trying to do something, and there's always that nagging wife telling him, no, come home.
Well, you had that Alexander movie. Did he shoot that, too?
Didn't see it.
The General Alexander, he was...
He's full of shit in my book.
Okay, he's full of shit.
There you go.
It's a long, drawn-out thing, but Oliver Stone... I got to disagree here, Nick. I kind of like his stuff.
Okay, all
right. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I like some of his stuff.
Like the one with the JFK?
I think it was a whitewash. I think he knows that Connolly shot JFK because I think he went through that frame by frame. And in frame 314, you can see the guy's gun flash and whatever. Oh, let me back it up, please. Back up here. Even in the Warren Commission, a statement by Hugh William Betzner, volume 19, page 467, taken on the day of the assassination. This man said he thought he saw a firecracker in the limousine. He thought he saw a nickel-plated revolver in the limousine.
That was who now?
Interesting.
That was a man that was just a bystander. His name was Hugh William Betzner, volume 19, page 467, taken on the day of the assassination. That is in the Warren Commission.
Now let me ask you, did you come up with this, or has there other been people have thought about this as well?
No, what is the guy's name on YouTube? He goes through it, and JFK Gun Flash. That is the guy's YouTube channel. If you go there, he breaks
it
down.
Well, I'm sure Chris will check it out right now, and we'll find out who that...
Let me go back to John Lennon, if you don't mind.
Guy is.
Okay. John Lennon was shot, you know, outside his apartment building. The guy that shot him, the official story is, he didn't run. Now, there were two... He was across the street from Central Park, which is huge. Could have got lost. There are two subway stops right there. He could have got lost right there. He stayed right there and started reading from his book, The Catcher in the Rye. Okay?
Yeah, but he was kind of fucking nuts, too, Nick.
Well, if he was nuts, why is he in Attica and not a mental health facility? He doesn't even realize that he didn't act alone. He had a five shooter, and there's like eight shots. There's four in Lennon, three in the glass vestibule, and one in the concrete that chipped the concrete by the office door. Excuse me.
But he's never denied it, though.
He says that he did. He shot two.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he shot two. There was someone.
There was somebody else there shooting. Now listen to this. This was 6 years went by, and the doorman's name was hidden from the public, was not released to the public for 6 years. Then it was released to the public. His name is Jose Perdomo, and he is ex-CIA.
The doorman?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes. Not only that, he was part of an elite group of assassins called Operation 40. They were involved in the Bay of Pigs.
Back to JFK.
This woman.
You know what? I'm going to have the secretary start my car when I go out there today.
I'm going to have to get my own fucking ex-CIA security to follow us out of here.
Fucking Nick's going to have us all killed.
Now, Chapman was a product. He was mind-controlled also. When I talked about mind control last week, I'm talking about the CIA's mind control program called MKUltra.
MKUltra.
And they mind-controlled assassins, people to assassinate. John Hinckley.
It's like the Bourne Identity.
John, yes, exactly. Matt Damon, CIA.
Yeah.
John Hinckley, his, the evidence packet, you know, when they take things out of your pockets when you're arrested?
Yep.
He had a copy of Catcher in the Rye and the same kind of pistol. The actions of his...
Wait, he had the same stuff
same
that
book,
Hinckley?
Yeah,
had?
The same kind of, as Chapman, Hinckley that shot did
they
Reagan.
Did they check the book out if there was anything underlined or...
I don't think there's anything like that. Chapman
there might be
said,
some passage in the book.
No. Chapman wrote in the on chapter one, he wrote, "This is my statement."
Really?
Yeah. And said that he did it. The reasons are in the book. But the thing is, he doesn't even know that he was mind controlled to do it. Right. But, yeah, go ahead.
But let me ask you this, though. You're saying there were more shots. Why would you fire so many shots at John Lennon? I mean, wouldn't one or two do the job?
Well, you make sure of it, you know what I mean? I mean,
why put yourself in a position to where they could find out in the future, like Nick Guy 2015 comes up and says, there were more shots fired, more bullets into John Lennon.
Well, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
Who's going to prosecute the CIA? They're good. They're good. They're in the business of covering shit up. You know what I mean? They know how to cover these things up. Maybe they didn't count on the internet and all this kind of information and maybe this or that. But, I mean, who's really going to go after them? Who's going to prosecute them?
You kind of really freaked me out about the doorman.
You know, they could give you – the CIA can give you cancer. They have so many ways of offing you. And they told us they were under fire and they were under congressional hearings, the CIA. And they said, yes, we know how to do this and we know how to do that. We can give you cancer and this and that. And they weren't just – letting them know. They weren't just confessing things. They were threatening them. They're like, so fucking prosecute us. Yeah. We can give you cancer. Yeah. You want to prosecute the CIA?
What do you think, Chris? This fucker's changing my mind around here. And
It's easy to start
questioning.
Start thinking it might be the other way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, though, you take out John Lennon. We've made another dot with him with JFK. Why?
Oh no, not JFK. Oh, let me make this clear. That has nothing to do with JFK.
Nothing to do.
No.
Why was he taken out then?
Let me explain. Well, let's see. 1 week before John Lennon was killed, a researcher named Mae Brussel. She is like the guru of conspiracy research. She's dead. She was taken out.
I'll put you up against her any day.
Oh no. I listen to her, so...
No. Oh, okay.
Anyway, she said, well, you know, Reagan is about to be inaugurated, and the Reagan-Bush war machine is about to come into play, and the assassination groups of the 60s are also, making things ready for the Bush, you know, Reagan-Bush war machine. And 7 days later, John Lennon, an anti-war activist who loved to stir shit up and rally people to say peace, and, you know, he was gone.
He was gone. So they didn't want any. They didn't want anything to hinder this machine.
Yeah, there's a big. You know, the FBI. There's a big FBI file on John Lennon. Wow. There's an FBI file on you too. You know, and me and you.
Well, there definitely is now.
It's called Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
It's called Facebook. FBI.
You know what I don't like is when you're getting on a plane and you're going through security. If you look at all like you haven't shaved or anything for that day, they'll pull you over.
Oh, yeah, right.
They'll check you out. And I'm like, well, what the fuck I do? Well, why can't you check old grandma down there?
Yep.
Why you got to check me out?
I know.
So, you know, it's good in the way, too. I mean, we really don't need... I told Nick not to bring it up, but that 9/11 thing, you know, that shit kind of freaks me out. And when you're on a plane, when you see some Abdul guy walking in the pass, you know, in that little thing there, I get a little nervous. I gotta tell you guys, I'm like that.
I would think that something sinister, far more sinister, is at play.
Well, yeah, you're uncovering everything on our show.
I was half quoting Johnny Cochran.
He's dead now, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So. I don't know if there's any correlation with that as well.
Oh, no. Maybe he wanted to tell the truth about what he was in on.
So what else you got, Nick? That was pretty interesting shit.
Well, I was kind of trying to segue into this O.J. Simpson thing.
Go ahead, babe.
Okay. This is just one thing I find very interesting. In the beginning of this whole thing, I thought, okay, looks like he did it. And then I started listening to Johnny Cochran and them, and I was like, it's kind of convenient. There's a glove here and a glove there, and there's this racist Mark Furman and this and that. So anyway, I came around to this blood evidence and it's thinking the guy did it and everything. And I don't, you know, probably did.
If the glove don't fit, what?
You must have quit.
Yeah. That was pretty big. And you see how he tried to put the glove in, too.
That was
so cheesy.
But you know something? They got some brand new ones, and they fit fine. But, hey, those weren't the gloves that he put on, they took off. So did the glove shrink while it was sitting there in evidence for that long? You know what I mean? What's up with that?
Yeah.
So, you know. Also, okay, so there's this book called In Pursuit of Exhibit 35. This man puts a few facts forward that Ron Goldman was a police informant and had a big criminal history, and his criminal history was sealed because criminal histories of government informants are sealed. Okay, so there's some weird shit there. But then the Exhibit 35 is the phone records that nobody can see. And what's weird is that exhibits should not be sealed to the public because they were already exhibits. They were already made public.
Isn't there a time limit on that stuff, too, that they could only seal it for so long and then after 25 years or so they could come back out?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't know.
Isn't there something like that, Chris?
She's an attorney.
Well, it depends on what the information... I mean, so stuff...
Like Martin Luther King, they said that... I've seen this one show one time where they said...
So some... Yeah.
Down the line, they can open up where it becomes public.
Yes.
The stuff that they have.
So they're able to open it up to be accessed through the Freedom of Information Act. However, some stuff is classified, not released, and they... Like, example, with a lot of, like, the Kennedy assassination stuff where they say it's going to be released on this date, and then that date gets closer, and they say... we're going to push it back another 20
years. Oh, they
years.
Can push that back.
Yeah.
It's not
set. Yeah. And they have. Okay. And then I've heard that when you get some of these documents you request, they're blacked out, they're smudged up. You know, they're so you're really getting sometimes a whole blacked out piece of paper. But anyway, with the OJ thing was that Exhibit 35 is the phone records, and the phone records could prove that you see that, okay, Lou Brown, her father, was saying that he knows that she was killed after 11 o'clock or something like that because she was talking to her mother, his wife, on the phone at that time. So the phone records would prove that. But we know by that time that O.J. Simpson was indeed, you know, at the airport going to Chicago. And the limousine driver picked him up at such and such a time where that is in question.
Let's back this thing up. Now you're really saying that O.J. didn't do it?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can't see the phone records in that case. Why? Why can't you?
Why? Why though? Then would he take off like that? I mean, I know we're all scared of cops lately, but you know, you get in a white.
Well, maybe he knew who did it, and you know, he did have a gun with him. Well, he's going to kill himself, but he also had like $10,000. You know what I mean? Maybe he was going to kill the motherfucker that did it.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Maybe he knew. Maybe he stood to lose if he said anything. You know, I don't know. He probably did it. But hey, why aren't they releasing these phone records? Why, if there's nothing to hide, why not release it?
You know one thing about that though, and it's jumping to that Hardy case again about the suspension. He was found not guilty, and then they had a civil suit on the guy, on O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could just go to being. I know you're going to jump on this, Chris, but I just don't understand how, in the court of law, they said that you were innocent. All right, what is that fucking music coming on there?
No, I think it's the FBI heading here to get us. It was some sirens.
Yeah, and that, you know what? If they found him not guilty, how could they open up a civil lawsuit? I just don't understand these things.
Well,
I mean, then they
this
take
could
the
be a
guy's
long discussion, but yeah,
they took the guy's trophies and everything. He couldn't make any profit. Well, next thing you know, boom, he's back in jail again. Well, they were going to get the guy.
Well, for one thing or another, it's
To Nick's defense on this one, the whole conspiracy thing. How about this? They knew that if they locked OJ up after Rodney King,
yep,
that all hell would break loose in L.A. Let's find the guy not guilty now, and let's get him back. Let's tell his dad. Let's tell what's his name's dad that really pushed the issue. His
Goldman.
Son,
yeah, Ronald Goldman.
Yeah, and they say, hey, we're gonna get this guy, but just not now, okay? God, I hate to think about it like that, but I mean, you think about it, they had a big African-American uprising in L.A. I mean, this shit was going bad.
Yeah.
So how easy is it to say, hey, we're gonna let everything settle down here after Rodney King and O.J. Simpson? We're going to give an acquittal on this one.
I see where you're going.
But rest assured,
we're going to get him.
We're going to get him.
Don't worry. Yeah.
But not this time.
Well, I don't think that it really was the LAPD that got him at the state of California. Didn't that stuff happen in Nevada, Las Vegas?
Yeah. But the whole premise was we're going to get him.
I see what you're saying, that if this was indeed like a some kind of psyop, you know what I mean? Then it would be something not just California, Nevada. I see where you're going.
I'm just following the suit of Nick here
one. Yeah.
You know, the network has many tools to carry out the New World Order.
Yeah, there you go on that one. how about a little break here?
It's that time to hear from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
It's the book that Wrestling Observer calls a must-read for any MMA fan. Jonathan Snowden of Bleacher Report describes as riveting and amazing, and thefightnerd.com says nothing is held back. Pick this book up right away. Is This Legal? The inside story of the first UFC from the man who created it, written by UFC founder Art Davey and me, Sean Wheelock, with the foreword by John McCarthy, is now available to listeners of this podcast at the special price of $12.48. That's far less than you'll pay for the book on Amazon and half price of what you'll pay in store at Barnes & Noble. Buy it directly from the publisher now online at ascendbooks.com and enter the promo code LEGAL50. That's ASCENDbooks.com, promo code LEGAL50. Learn the true story of how the UFC came into existence in the book that Randy Couture describes as honest, shocking, and enthralling, and that has a rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars from Amazon Reader Reviews. Is This Legal? The inside story of the first UFC from the man who created it, by UFC founder Art Davey and me, Sean Wheelock, with the foreword by Big John McCarthy. Available now online at ascendbooks.com for just $12.48 when you use the promo code LEGAL50.
All right, my friends, we are back here on the Ocho Man Behind the 8-Ball, and I'll tell you what, man. Nick's kind of freaking me out, Chris.
I'm
motherfucker's got me all
yeah.
whacked out now. Now I'm scared to start the car. I'm going to have to ask the secretary to start the car for me. I don't know if they broke the brake lines on my car. I don't know what the hell to do
You never
now.
Know. It's got all that computer. They may have hacked it.
Believe me.
They may be able to lock you in and just assume control of your car and drive you where they want you.
You know, that fucking car does that.
I know. That's what I mean.
It's all about the damn thing's got autopilot. And why won't they bring that up? Why won't they let me drive my car on the autopilot? How sweet would that be, me sitting in the back and having this thing drive and just freaking people out next to me?
Any ideas on that, Nick?
I mean, that would be really fucking cool.
That'd be nice.
on any conspiracy stuff around well, kind of like autonomous driving?
I bet Tesla. There's a lot of shit on Tesla, man. I mean, the guy was
Nikola Tesla.
Well, he came up with so many great stuff, and they brought this guy down because he wanted
wireless
to give out
electricity.
Free electricity to yeah. everybody, and they said, well, let's
without
take
wires.
Let's take him out, too. So,
That is one reason why you're not going to they will never disclose the UFO, the reality of UFOs and you know, aliens and all that.
Well, I tell you what, I was sitting out last night. I was checking out the stars. I tell you what, we had a beautiful sky last night. I had a bottle of wine, and you seen all the stars. And I swear to you guys, do you guys ever kick back and say, man, what if I seen something just fly by tonight? I mean, when you're out there by yourself, you know, you just kick back and you're drinking, you're saying, man, that would be sweet if something just flew by.
Oh, man, I would
Would you want them to pick you up?
I know I'd be scared to death and everything, like, but man, yeah, I do invite something like that to happen.
Just, what about you, Chris?
It was just
I don't know if I'd want it to happen or not. I mean,
I would
just, sure.
If those little fucking creatures said to you,
I would freak.
If they said, you know what, we got a much peaceful fucking, you know, don't mind their looks. You could take your wife.
I'd probably have an aneurysm though, because I'd be so freaked out. Because even though they said it, I'd be thinking, is this real? Like, are they going to bring me up here and?
Well,
like lock me up and experiment on me.
I would kind of see them using me for some sex machine, because you know they'd probably
want to
breed.
That's what the humans
them.
Do. So,
well, they would probably want me to breed with their little blue guys. I'm not guys.
Have little Ocho aliens.
Ocho alien females, yeah. The blue females.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I think they're doing. What they're doing, really? See, these people are us. You know, you've got to think of these people, these UFOs, they're time machines. And these aliens are us in the future. You see, if 4 million years ago...
I knew I was going to walk into this, Chris.
Now listen.
Walked right into it.
Say yeah. If like 4 million years ago, we looked like Neanderthals, and we were big hairy apes. Million years from now, we're all short and have bulbous heads and almond-shaped eyes.
Well, the guy you replaced, Tony, he's a... He has traits of that.
No, I'm not going there.
Okay. Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
You know, they could be, these UFOs could be time machines, and maybe they're coming back here to correct some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, correct some shit. They need a lot of correction on this shit. I'll tell you that right now.
But what they need to start with the acknowledgement of the Armenian genocide, right?
Well, that.
You get a little influence
and
there.
And plus, you got this ISIS guy, ISIS people that are destroying relics that are millions. I mean, shit's really old, man. And this, you don't know if those aliens had laid all this foundation down for, hey, one day we're going to meet up and this is going to be our guideline and this is where we're going to meet and all. And these fucking pricks are destroying everything in the Middle East, man.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, no, the reason why that the government will never disclose the reality of this is because they would have to tell you how they got here. If they told you that, we have their technology, they'd be like, well, you know, they crashed in Roswell and we took their technology and we've, you know, well, how'd they get here? You know what I mean? What? We don't need oil anymore. You know what I'm saying? They can't disclose this to the public because then they'd have to disclose how they got here.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah, but what's the big deal with it? Why do we want to frack the world to drill oil? I mean, if there's something out there, why don't we take the easy way out of this, man?
Well, because it's disruptive to big business. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
fuck their big
business. Well, I say that and you say that, but, you know, people that are lining the pockets of politicians, you know, they're big on the oil thing.
Well, I realize that.
And other things, of course.
And that's what's been the key to the Middle East right now. It's okay if you have a big oil country. We will support you, and we will support your so-called democracy. They don't go into how Yemen was before the uprising. Yemen was a prick country, too. They didn't believe in democracy. And then Saudi Arabia comes in and says, we're bringing democracy back to Yemen. My friends in Saudi Arabia, you never had democracy. You fucking kill people left and right. You cut off their heads. That's not democracy to me. Yeah, you know, I mean, come on, man. Let's really ease up on the word democracy. And everything's about oil. Everything. And Nick's brought up a good point. We buy into this oil thing, and we got enough oil in this country to last us over 200 years. Why do we need their oil so much? And then all of a sudden, our oil prices drop down under $100. We're down to like 60, 70 bucks, and now we're holding there. But again, we could be using a dollar of gas again like we did in the 80s.
Yep.
I mean, come on. Mm. I know. You think I like driving an electric car? I like to jump into a gas car sometime, too, you know.
Not Tesla. Well, I'm Tesla Motors.
But anyway, yeah, you got me fired up there. Go ahead, buddy. What were you saying?
No, I think I made my point, really. I mean,
You were bringing up before we even got in here about the moon. What the hell's going on with the moon thing again?
Yeah. Okay. There have been three... Okay. Last time we were talking about the moon, I was in here, right? And, okay, so they faked the moon landings. They faked the footage, right?
That whole flag-waving thing,
right.
I told you.
Everybody. So what are we looking at then? Who shot it? Are we looking at a scene in the desert on a soundstage in Hollywood? You know, and who took these pictures? Because some of these photographs that I said were impossible to be taken on the moon, they look like a photographer showing off. You know what I mean? They're just too good. There is a big theory out there now that Stanley Kubrick faked the moon landings.
Who's this guy?
Stanley Kubrick. He directed Full Metal Jacket,
yeah.
2001 A Space Odyssey, The Shining. You seen The Shining?
Yeah.
Did you see The Shining, Chris?
I have seen The Shining.
Okay. Shining, that's with Jack Nicholson, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
In that fucking hallway, those two twins.
Oh,
my God. That was frightening me in your big wheel, on your big wheel, you know, going, how many times have we thought about that?
Yeah.
That
oh, fun. God, in my nightmares.
Well, check it out with that. That's the movie. I'm glad you both saw that one because.
How can you not? Every American should see the movie Shining.
Oh, right. Well, the whole theory is that there's something else. That movie's about, a guy that's a caretaker for a hotel during the winter, and he cracks up because, you know, he gets cabin fever and he cracks up because the hotel's is haunted and all this. But there's something else underlying. There's an underlying plot there. And you see, Stanley Kubrick, the theory goes like this. He was asked to fake the moon landings, and he thought it'd be exciting to do it. And then he didn't want to do it. And then he realized this is kind of messed up. So he made the movie The Shining and put clues in it to tell the public that he did this moon landing.
Well, how the fuck did he come up with that one?
Well, there are three documentaries out there now about this. One is called Room 237. The other one is called Kubrick's Odyssey. And the other one is called The Shining Code. And, they all kind of say the same thing. Now, let's see.
Was 237 that room that wasn't supposed to go into? You're not supposed to go in that one room?
That's right. Now, in the book, it was 217. He changed it to 237 because back then it was believed that the moon was 237,000 miles away.
Hmm.
Now, the boy, he's sitting down on a hexagon patterned rug, and he's playing with some trucks, and a ball rolls out to him.
Right.
This ball symbolizes the proposition, and the little boy is the naive Stanley Kubrick. And they invite him to do this. In the movie, the little boy gets up when he sees the ball, and he walks over to room 237. Okay? What is that boy wearing?
I have it right here, sir.
He's wearing a sweater that has a rocket on it, and it says Apollo 11, USA.
Why, you son of a bitch. Now you uncovered this one, too.
Now, that hexagon patterned rug, if you look at the launching pad from the Apollo 11 rocket that took off, it looks it's shaped similar to a hexagon.
Wait just a second here, because this carpet was already in this hotel. I mean, they didn't put this carpet in just for the movie.
Why wouldn't they? There's millions of dollars go into a motion picture.
Yeah, but they wouldn't do an entire hallway or an entire floor just for this one type of scene that no one's going to know about.
Well, first of all, that doesn't mean that the theory has no merit. But I mean, yes, they would indeed change the carpet of a floor.
Chris, would they go to that extreme to not even come up with
millions of dollars spent on? I mean,
I guess if it's a giant conspiracy, they might. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
Well, okay. You remember when?
I'd rather not weigh in.
I think maybe on that notion that maybe he identified that as. I mean, it was already laid out to where in his mind
could be.
It could have been. Yeah, could I see where you're going with it now. And by the way, prick over there, you got to get involved here. If I'm going to – now, I took a shot at the Middle East country. I'm going to go down.
I'll be over here. I'm good.
So there's more. Remember Shelley Duvall comes up. He's writing, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah.
Okay. If you take a typewriter and you type in the word all with A-L-L, it doesn't look like what is on the screen there. Those are not L's. They're 1's.
Mm. Apollo 11, right?
Right.
What you're saying?
Apollo 11 work makes Jack a dull boy, and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Wow.
That's what's on there. That's what you're looking at there.
Wow.
It's pretty heavy. And everywhere that go ahead.
So his yeah, definitely creepy on this one. But so when the ball is rolling.
Yeah.
And he gets up. That signifies him as I'm not going to be a part of this or what, and then he goes out to the middle of the hall.
He's being invited. He's being invited to
play.
Yeah, play. Like come, they do say come and play with us, Danny. The twins do.
Yeah.
Which also symbolizes Apollo 1. It was called Gemini. And those guys died because they were critical of the moon, the whole moon race thing. So that symbolizes that. Now, remember when Jack Nicholson goes into, he goes into room 237 and that hot chick comes out of the bathtub naked and he starts making out with her and she turns into an old dead lady?
Yeah, what is that?
That kind of symbolizes, he goes in there to the moon room and the offer to him to do this seemed very attractive at first. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he got in bed with them. And then he realized this isn't some sexy thing at all.
This
is some old hag, laughing at me.
This is something ugly.
Yeah, this is something ugly and something I don't want anything to be a part of. You know what I mean?
I got you.
He runs out and he lies to his wife and says, no, there's nothing going on in there.
So you're saying that that group, that party room, that whole banquet room is them. And they're trying to console, kind of make them feel good about, hey, it's all right.
The party room.
The party room where that bartenders,
and
they're having a banquet. There's a big party of all these, things that he's seeing. All these people that he's seeing, but they're all dead. It's a
I know.
So
what you mean.
So you're saying that it's them again trying to influence. But again, on that notion too, what about who? Why are they saying you need to take this woman out? I mean, who is this woman in this movie that is, signifies something related to the moon and all this?
No. He's not told to take her out or anything.
He says, well, you know what? If you need to take care of and punish her or something.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. In the bathroom, he goes in. He's in the ballroom of the party. He goes in there, and that guy Grady is talking to him. The Grady was the man that killed, that went crazy and killed his daughters and his wife. Okay, he's saying, do you know your... Well, he's not talking about his wife. He's talking about his son. Well, he does talk about his wife. He says, your son is involved...
Because she's influencing him, is that...
He says, your son is involved with an outsider. Did you know an outsider has entered this situation? What situation? He's a caretaker of a goddamn hotel. You know what I mean? An outsider has come, you know, and has come into this situation, and you need to correct that situation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, silence, you know, silence it. Nobody can know about this. And what does he do? Scatman Crothers, Mr. Halloran, he comes, he has the shine, he can sense something's wrong, he goes in there, and Nicholson kills him. You know?
Right.
Stanley Kubrick himself...
What, is he still around?
No. He died 666 days before January 1st, 2001. Now, let me tell you something. His last movie...
I want to get stoned with you sometime.
Well, we got, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, check this out. Stanley Kubrick did a movie called Eyes Wide Shut. It was his last movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't get it. When this movie came out, I was like, what? This guy is one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, probably the best. What is this? My brother, who knew a few things about Kubrick, told me, no, man, just... It probably means something else. Just kind of keep listening. Anyway, Kubrick died 4 days after showing the finished product to the Warner Brothers heads. And they told him, you got to change this. You cannot put this in there. You got to change this. And he said, no fucking way. 4 days later, he was dead. When I looked into Eyes Wide Shut and I heard people talking about it, Eyes Wide Shut is a movie about the Illuminati. And what they do at these parties, these sex parties.
Well, I think
rituals.
Everyone kind of made
the.
They're
into
though.
These cults and shit. Yeah. I mean, that's.
That
Saturn worship. People worship Saturn. Did you know that?
No, I did not know.
Oh, yeah,
they worship Saturn.
There's some. Oh, man. There's some little MK Ultra shit in there. Oh, man. It's really heavy. It's really heavy. I don't even know where to start on that.
I kind of see that from the movie. It's not as given out like The Shining. The Shining was, from what you're telling me, wow, that's some deep shit there.
Well, you should see one of them documentaries. See, like,
I've even heard
Shining
Pulp
Code.
Fiction is a different type of... Everything's about something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about what's in Marcel's... on the back of his head when they open up that... it's about angels and demons and stuff like this.
No shit.
Yes.
Wow, I'm totally clued. I got to jump on that one.
You have. Yeah, and next time around, I want you to come on and fill us in on what you got from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Hey, what about, we got anything going on with the emails out there? Or we got that loser thing. Have we done that? You got one? Oh, here we go.
So this is our Lonesome Loser segment for today. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear this loser.
Florida man hospitalized after making out with a venomous snake.
What the fuck are you talking about?
A Florida man is recovering after a cottonmouth snake has bit him on the lip after he had tried to smooch the serpent on the mouth.
Cottonmouth snakes are very dangerous, too. I mean, they're pissed off all the time. I've seen it. I mean, they're just not green snakes.
What was his reason for making out with a snake?
He doesn't say. He found the snake. He put it in a pillowcase, brought it to his girlfriend's house, and was holding it up and trying to
just being
to
funny
kiss it on the lips.
Shit. Yeah. Oh, well, smart guy.
Well, so he probably
his
got
face
them.
Is swollen up like a...
Did he die?
Hippopotamus. No, he's still alive right now.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway, that's our Lonesome Loser segment.
Well,
for
you
got to
be a
behind the eight ball show.
And you know what?
This shit always happens in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Have you noticed that Florida or California or Texas? It's one of those three there. And now, good shit's happening, crazy shit in Colorado with all the pot smokers out there. I mean, you got some wacky stories out there happening, too.
You do.
But you know what? Here's the thing on that, too. You never hear about Colorado people
no.
from getting dangerous, except for that wacko with the school with that came into the Batman movie.
Yeah, there is some weird shit going on in Colorado. Denver International Airport, all that shit, all the New World Order, those murals, New World Order shit, all kinds of statues, like demonic statues and stuff.
You're
at the
kidding.
Denver International Airport. Yeah. There's some weird shit going on in Colorado. JonBenet Ramsey. We're going to save that for another time. That's just too disturbing. But yeah, there's a lot of weird shit going on in Colorado, brother.
I thought it was just laid-back pop people in Colorado, but no.
I tell you, I'm going to make it out there.
There's
real
weirdos
soon.
Everywhere.
Hey, well, what's anything with our emails? Anyone corresponding with us out there?
We're going to have to hold the emails off and sums up with this server here. I don't have anything.
Well, so. What about we had this one guy. He put on my Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
How happy he was about our show and everything. Let's give him a shout out because this
guy. My friend Eric.
Yeah, who is that, Nick?
Right on. That's my friend Eric. He knows who he is. Right
Eric.
On.
Eric.
E. Appreciate
the feedback,
thanks for listening
man.
Out there.
Yeah, we like
send
the feedback.
Send us an email. Sorry especially if you have sent one, we can't read it. But
yeah, especially when it's good feedback.
Yeah, our server's down, so. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about Eric. He might throw me a curveball.
he's in your type of world too.
He's open minded. I think he would like to challenge me, but that's okay. No, I think he's an open minded dude, and I think he's probably on board with.
Well,
what
the
I'm
guy that
about.
Usually challenges you from last week, we got an empty seat here.
Yeah,
he never showed up.
The men in black have grabbed
him. What the hell happened to him? I mean, he didn't call or anything. Yeah. I left messages. Hey, where are you?
Shit.
You know what it is? It's that whole global warming shit.
it's his online dating. He ended up at some bizarre chick's house.
And she's still tied up.
That's what I mean. No,
she's still got him tied up.
He's tied up in a basement
somewhere
that's
what
in a dungeon.
I meant.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Can you see him with a blindfold going, hey, where you at?
Hey,
sweetie. Hey, you got me fucking naked here. Where you at?
No handcuffs, no blindfolds.
Oh, man.
Well, he'll do anything. He's insane.
That's Armand.
You want to give a shout out to our people out there?
For anyone who wants to find the show, it's on the iTunes Store, Stitcher app for Android, our website, ochoman.com, or you can email us when our servers work, ochoman@ochoman.com. All social media, be sure to send us messages, emails. We will read them on the air. If you have any feedback, show topics, let us know.
You won't be hearing your messages today.
Yeah,
Our server went down.
For sure not today.
What do you got going this weekend there, Nick?
Let's see. The kids are with their dad, so just hanging out with my girlfriend. I'm off on weekends.
You know what? I could fucking see Nick just going out to some rural area out in the mountain just seeing if he could spot something sitting landing in from the other planets or something.
Oh, I really would like to go to like Cahokia Mounds and do some kind of shamanic experience.
There
I don't
know,
meditate and burn some sage or do something. Yeah.
Well, I mean, fuck. Well, I think our guy does that too. Our GM gets into meditation.
Yeah, he does get into that a little bit.
Yes, sir. What about you, Chris?
Just ready for
some more NHL
playoffs. It's getting interesting. Anaheim knocks out Winnipeg. The Rangers, they go up last night on the Penguins.
I do not want to play against Anaheim. I don't care.
I don't want to play against Anaheim or Chicago. The Western Conference is strong.
Well, I tell you what. Why don't you give us the sports thing here, and let me send our people off on a winning note.
Get set. It's time for the Ocho Man's Big Picks of the Day. Bad to the bone.
Bad to the bone. My friends, the last 2 weeks now, we've been really killing it. I think we're 9-1, my friends, so that's not bad at all. I'll take a 9-1. You guys like 9-1, don't you?
9-1 is good. The old
9-1
hearts
is great.
Yep.
We've got a big play tonight that I just don't see Kyle Loesch doing anything productive here. Cincinnati -106 with Bailey on the mound versus Kyle Loesch. I love Cincinnati in the spot. -106 on the road. I'm going to take that, and I love the over on this one, too. I think the over is 8, 8.5. Take it. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring here, and I'm jumping all over Cincinnati at minus 106. And St. Louis Cardinals versus the Washington Nationals. Nationals are minus 138 here. They got Scherzer on the mound, and Scherzer is lights out here. I love him in the spot, and I'm taking the Washington Nationals minus 138 at home against the St. Louis Cardinals. And for our hockey games tonight, I like Nashville over Chicago, my friends, at plus 105. I don't give a shit here. I love Nashville. You know what? I think they're gonna do it here. I like them in the spot. So I got Cincinnati, I got Washington, and in the NHL, I got Nashville Predators. That's what I got for you. And yeah, hopefully, I can go 3-0 and make this thing continue on my wins here, my friends.
There you go.
And that's what we got. Anything else you guys gonna want to plug? Anything out there? No.
I think we're good.
All right, my friends, have a great weekend. And Armenian Genocide, April 24th tomorrow, just when you're kicking back, remember that. And have a great weekend from the Ocho Man.
Peace.
Nick, Phil. Phil.
Phil. I'm Chris. Phil. Or Chris, whatever you want
Chris,
to call me.
We are out of here.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
The Ocho Man, behind the...